Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. No, they don't really want to take his cool off,
Boy, do it.
I just press it.
Early in the morning, if he's on my mind, I'ma take my time, yeah. Do it how we want, yeah. Just to set the mood, girl, I brought some water, yeah, it's our leg.
Hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up.
Come like a family. Well, something has happened to the configuration of the music. I think the adjustments have are wrong in the setting. So, and trust me, y'all, that is not a song that y'all wanted to hear. Trust me. Trust me. So hold on. Here we go.
Yes, ma'am.
Of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder in our midst, and I greet all of you in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you, and it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to bring to you, I don't mean to sound possessive when I say this, but my dear and precious brother who is always so supportive and who always makes himself available to me, and I can't thank Allah enough to have him as a brother and a friend, and of course, as a host in the Nation Builder Network family. It's my honor to present to you my beloved brother, Kareem Muhammad from St. Louis, Missouri. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And thank you so much. I want to meet this cat you talking about. He sounds like he all right. However, in the name of Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is indeed due forever, and in the name of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the exalted Christ, and in the name of our divine reminder given to us by them both, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I want to greet Queen Aziza, Sister Diatoma Clarity, my brother Eddie X, and the entire audience with the greeting words of peace and paradise. We say it in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam.
And as always, everybody knows I don't like to waste time. I like to get right into what we are here for. I have to say this, though. Welcome to Conscious Black Nation, where what we do is we have dialogue, we have discussion, so that we can come away with practical solutions, where we can actually use the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad with practical application, because anything other than that, it's just talk. You know, we can talk about it all day long, but if we don't come away with something that we can use in our everyday lives to solve or to apply to the situations we run up on, it's a waste of time. And our subject tonight is one that's very controversial among the many groups or the many camps, I'm going to say it like that, of followers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that is Ramadan. And the topic, or the title of our topic tonight, is what is, or what and when is Ramadan? However, before we get into that, I would like our panelists to introduce themselves, and I'm going to start with you, Sister Diatoma. Please, front and center, introduce yourself, let the people know who you are.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
And the Holy Book. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, who all holy praises are for as due. I further bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his divine messenger and Christ among us. Honorable Minister Louis Spirit, can I say this is a reminder and warning amongst us. Ramadan Mubarak family. My name is Diatoma Clarity on Facebook. Thank you. I go by the name Diatoma Clarity, but my name is Sister Jamie X. And I'm just here, and I want to thank you for inviting me here. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, and I'm glad that you honored that you have invited me. And I just pray and hope that whatever I bring to the table, blessing and grace from Allah. And thank you again for inviting me.
All praise is due to Allah. And now, again, I have to present, because this is a brother that needs no introduction, the one, the only, Brother Eddie X. Assalamu alaikum, sir. Present yourself.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. Assalamu alaikum to the entire family and listening audience. First and foremost, thank you, Sister Queen Aziza, Sister Gidget, and Brother Kareem for having me again. And I'm always listening to the shows, and it's always an honor to be able to chance to talk. And it's not a chance for us to get up and hear ourselves. It's a chance to talk with the believers and spend time with the believers. So I'm happy, happy, happy. I'm out of here. I'm a Muhammad study group in Augusta, Georgia, serving as student prison minister, and I'm happy to be serving in the nation and serve with family. And I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm excited. Let's go.
We love you back.
Oh, praise is due to Allah. See, that's one of the ways you can tell when somebody is actually taking Ramadan, all right, because the energy level is so high. I mean, you just be rolling. All right? Oh, praise is due to Allah.
That's the truth.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's what we're here to discuss and to talk about is Ramadan. Now, to lay a base for our discussion, we're going to start in the Holy Quran Sharif, Maulana Muhammad Ali translation. It's in Surah or Chapter 2, entitled Zakal or Al-Baqarah. And we are starting in Ayat or Verse 183. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. We seek refuge in Allah against the accursed shaitan or Satan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. O you who believe, fasting is prescribed for you, as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may guard against evil for a certain number of days. But whoever among you is sick or on a journey, he shall fast a like number of other days. And those who find it extremely hard may effect redemption by feeding a poor man. So whoever does good spontaneously, it is better for him. And what you, subhanAllah, and that you fast is better for you if you know. The month of Ramadan is that in which the Quran was revealed, a guidance to men and clear proofs of the guidance and the criterion. So whoever of you is present in the month, he shall fast therein. And whoever is sick or on a journey, he shall fast a like number of other days. Allah desires ease for you, and he desires not hardship for you. And he desires that you should complete the number and that you should exalt the greatness of Allah for having guided you and that you may give thanks. Barakallah, surely Allah speaks the truth. And for those in our audience who may not be Muslim, I want to go here to the King James Version of the Bible, and we want to go to the book of Psalms, and it will be Psalms 35, verse 13, where it states, "But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned unto mine own bosom." Also, chapter 6 of the book of Matthew, starting in the 16th verse, it says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Now, I'm also going to share something from a book, one of the many books that Allah has blessed me to study and to glean his wisdom from. It's a book entitled The Book of Sufi Healing. Anybody that's interested, you might want to pick the book up. It can be a help to you. And what I'm going to read here is, it says, "Fasting is the oldest known form of natural healing. The methods employed range from discontinuance of a single food for a short period of time, up through total abstinence from all foods and liquids for extended periods. For many people who have never fasted, the idea seems strange, and some even consider it quite dangerous. These conceptions are not utterly unfounded, because incorrectly applied fasting can result in severe disorders of the body and even death. Correctly observed fasts are adjusted according to the cycles of the moon and other planets, as well as many other phenomena." And all that simply means is that when you fast correctly, you're in tune with nature. Nothing spooky, no astrology. Fasting is actually the epitome of a natural way of life, and its benefits do not end at the correction of the body and restoration of health. Before taking up any kind of fast, it is important to understand the rationale for fasting. Most Westerners who fast do so to cleanse the body and improve health. However, these are incorrect intentions with which to begin a fast. It goes on to say that the primary fast to be taken up is that generally called Ramadan in Islam. Ramadan is one of the months of the Islamic calendar, the month during which the Quran, and it's said it's the ninth month, the month during which the Quran, as well as the Torah, the Psalms of David, and the New Testament, all were first sent down from Allah. The excellence of fasting is known from these two statements of the Prophet, and we're talking about Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, may the peace and blessing of Allah forever be upon him. By the one in whose hand is my life, the fragrance of the mouth of a fasting man is dearer to Allah than the fragrance of musk. Paradise has a gate named Khiyan. None except a fasting person will enter paradise at that gate. It says the word Ramadan does not actually mean fast. It means intense heat or burning. The technical term for fasting is siyam, whose root word means to be at rest. By abstaining from food, drink, and sexual intercourse, which are lawful to the believer, these functions of the body are granted rest and an opportunity to become revivified. The general fasting during the month of Ramadan is enjoined upon the whole of humanity. Those who actually do it are Muslims. Now, having said that, my first question is this. I'm going to ask this of each of the panelists, and I'm going to start with you, Sister Diatoma. What is the meaning of Ramadan? I mean, how do you see the meaning of Ramadan from what we've just shared?
Yes. Well, for me, Ramadan, of course, means extreme heat or extreme fire. And what usually happens in fire, fire is a form of purification. So to me, Ramadan is a form of purification. It's a time where our body is able to cleanse itself of all the toxins that we have over the years or over the months or over the week have come upon and placed within us. So it gives our body time to basically re-heal itself and to cleanse itself. It's a time where we become one with Allah, because it's also a very great meditation time, because you literally have to meditate in order to be able to fast. I mean, you can't keep the fast that with unclean or you won't be able to complete. So fasting to me is a time of purification.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. And I'm going to come to you next, Brother Eddie.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. What is Ramadan? What is the meaning of Ramadan, brother?
Well, can everyone hear me just fine?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, good, good. I'm hoping to block out some of the background noise. I'm on my way home. But
yes,
Ramadan is two things. It's first physical and spiritual. Now, Minister Farrakhan, he told us in his article on the importance of Ramadan that it's the fasting, the avoidance of food and water and sexual intercourse, these things that we need. When we can avoid those permitted things, when we have the strength to avoid these things that our body rely on during the entire daylight hour, then we have the strength to avoid the things that are already not natural to us. And when we can control those unnatural forces, the forces of greed, the forces of hate, the forces of uncontrolled hunger, then we can control those forces that bring death and destruction to our community. So it's a spiritual thing. It's a physical thing. It's a thing that is necessary for the establishment of community through self-improvement, through self-development. But it is also physical in that it also strengthens your body and strengthens your health. You can avoid health. You can afford just food and water. You can avoid that extra soda and bag of chips on a real practical level. And I say that because I really, 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 really would like some
Doritos or something right now. Because I haven't broken my fast yet. So, and if you don't mind me, I'll talk kind of practical. But it's the importance of all of those things. You know, we restrain from the land animal, the animal that have been poisoned by the enemy through the feeding of antibiotics and feeding them the flesh of other livestock and dead animals and feeding them the filth of the earth and then feeding that food that feeds on that food back to us. It avoids that. So we focus on a more stricter diet and focus on how to eat to live so that we may cleanse ourselves. And when we cleanse our body and cleanse our food, we cleanse our thought patterns. We can control ourselves. We can control what goes in our mouth, and then by controlling what comes in our mouth, we can control what comes out of our mouth. We fast from arguing. We fast from hate. We fast from bickering. We fast from slander. We fast from gossip. And we fast from the food that has that poison, and we fast from the thoughts that has that poison. If I'm making sense to us, that's the meaning of Ramadan. It's a fast of spirit, it's a fast of body, and it is a time for us during the daylight hours that we may set and control ourselves, and in the nighttime hours then we reward ourselves through good food for and condition ourselves through that reward to love that which is good and accept that which is good and to strive for only that which is good. And it's also a test. You know, it's a test of our willpower to do it for 30 days. So many of us have jobs. Many of us go to the gym. Many of us have many activities. Life goes on despite Ramadan. You know, America never stops for us. We still, I work in a factory. And I have to hustle sometime with no AC on. They Sunday decide not to give the Negroes no AC for 10 hours a day, which is, Lord, y'all know how I feel. You know, you go by the water fountain and everybody talking to the water cooler and you just like, man, it's all only this. But when those lost sounds, those brothers and sisters and those Caucasians are there mocking you, it gives you the strength to prove that you believe in a real God and you believe in the teaching. So you continue on and you find strength in that to prove your teaching, to prove that what you have is good and makes you a better person. And you be that example. You let that example show. And after a few days, they start saying, man, you a strong brother, or man, you this and man, you that, because they see the change in you overnight and they see the value in what you're doing. And they stop and start considering what you're doing and say, man, I might want to try that too. It's a chance to be an example to our people. Ramadan is the purification of the soul. It is the chance to really put into warp speed the growth that the teachings should give us and the fasting should give us. I think that's the... I'm thinking so fast, you know, you're not digesting food. All you got to do is think.
That's right. That's right.
But that's what Ramadan is to me, and it's an opportunity to be a new man at the end of that 30 days. That's an opportunity to look for what you've been looking for all year. You know, Ramadan, I think, is the believer's new year. It's our new year celebration, and it's in that 30 days that we become new. That's in that 30 days that we renew and do it all over again.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Absolutely. I mean, both of your answers, excellent. And in right in line with what you just said, that's the thing that some of the things that people don't understand about fasting, but particularly during Ramadan, when you abstain from physical food, the first thing the body does is begin to feed on itself. Then the mind begins to feed on itself. You know, so in other words, you can't run from yourself. Everything that's in us is going to be exposed. And all those poisons, whether they be physical, and I know we use the term spiritual, I'm going to say this, spiritual simply means mental. There ain't no three things, it's two. The spiritual is the mental, but spiritual in the mental sense is not the low thinking, as it says in the scripture, my thoughts are above your thoughts. It's that thinking of Almighty God, Allah. And Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. I want to have that question. I want to get your view on that question. What is Ramadan?
I have no idea. No. for me, personally, you know, Ramadan covers so many aspects of life. But to me, I've always looked at Ramadan as a mini, M-I-N-I, resurrection.
Yes, ma'am.
And like, brother, I don't know why you have me come behind Brother Eddie, but okay. But it's a purification, but not only of the body, but during that purification of the body, it also purifies the mind, because your mind is constantly on your obedience to Allah. And during that process, you know, you have an elevation in your mind, excuse me, and you establish your alignment with Allah to become a better and better and better person. And so after the season or the period of Ramadan is over, you know, you have something that you can leave behind you. If you had 5 bad habits, maybe you only have 3 now. Maybe you only have 2 now. Maybe you only have 1 now. It's a resurrection. It's a rebirth. It's a cleansing, not only of the body, but of the spirit and of the mind. And as we practice to remain peaceful, as we practice to remain righteous in our thinking, as well as in our actions, hopefully it's a behavior that we can carry on into the future and hold fast to that rebirth of ourselves, and we become a better person to offer to our people and to offer to Allah. So that's what it means to me, Brother Kareem. I hope I answered your question.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. All praise is due to Allah. Like I said, everybody's answers excellent, again, because we're all speaking out of our own personal experience, and at the end of the day, so to speak, isn't that what, quote-unquote, religion and the things that we do are all about? We often hear this talk of a personal relationship with God. So that means that all aspects of it are personal. It's how we relate to the person of Almighty God, Allah. Now, one of the reasons, and it's only one of the reasons, that we have this subject tonight is because of the controversy I mentioned earlier among the various camps of the followers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You have those who constantly accuse those of us who are with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan of deviating, of changing the teaching. Yeah, yeah. That ain't what the messenger said. Okay? I'm not going to say pro or con whether the messenger said it or not. We're going to let the messenger share that with us in his own words as we continue on into this discussion. But now my question now, and I'm going to give this question to you again first, Sister Diatoma. Why did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad instruct us to fast for Ramadan in December?
Well, praise be to Allah. Well, according to my study and my reading, sir, we was instructed to fast during the month of December due to the fact that many of us, when we first was giving the fast, were still celebrating this Christmas holiday. And so he instructed us to fast on the month of December, number one, so that we can stop celebrating in the holiday, this extravagant spending, this extravagant eating and things of that nature. Also because Allah wants ease for us, as the Quran tells us, December is the shortest days of the year. And so we as black people first come into Ramadan, because we would have been fasting Muslim world back in time of July, we fast 15 hours. We more like we went crazy. so we allowed to only do it for, what is it, I think about maybe 6 to 8 hours of daylight during December. So we was able to be more at ease with fasting and be able to take it on. But he did instruct us that one day that we were going to be fasting with the complete Muslim world. So that's why he instructed us to be able to fast during the month of December, sir.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Absolutely. And Queen Aziz, I'm going to come to you first. Anything to add to that?
I'm
sorry. I'm dealing with some technical issues. I didn't hear the question.
Yes,
could you repeat for me?
Yes, ma'am. Well, the question is, why did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad instruct us to fast for Ramadan in December?
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I'm doing five things at once. Well, like Sister Di Thomas said, that was the shortest month of the year. And, of course, when the Nation of Islam was established in 1930, it was not a very common practice amongst our people to fast for religious purposes. Most people in the Christian religion would fast during a time of sorrow or a time of great trial. The Catholic version of Christianity would fast during a period called Lent. And so in the month of December, where the daylight hours, of course, are shorter, that was a practice run, so to speak, for us to mm-hmm. begin to learn fasting and also to refrain from the overconsumption of food that we often would involve ourselves in during the so-called pagan holiday season. So you would have, you know, extravagant dinners during the Christmas and New Year holiday and any other holidays you may celebrate during that time. And so it was a great practice run for restraint during a time when the temptation was great, not only from food, but also the indulgence of negative behaviors like wild parties and drinking and getting high and all of these things that take place in that season. So that was one of the reasons why he chose that month to have us to begin the practice of fasting and Ramadan.
All praises due to Allah. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. And before I get to Brother Eddie on this, like I said, we're going to hear in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's own words. And you will find this in the book, book number one, How to Eat to Live. It's on page 45, and it's the chapter entitled Why and How We Fast in December. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad states, I have chosen for quite a few years the month of December for my followers to fast as in the month of Ramadan. It serves as a sign that we, the lost and found nation, are the end of all signs pertaining to the pilgrimage and fasting in the month of Ramadan. We fast the 12th month of the Christian year to relieve ourselves of having once worshipped that month as the month in which Jesus was born. It is now known and agreed upon by the scholars and scientists of religion that nothing of the kind took place 2,000 years ago. Jesus was born not in the month of December, but rather as God has revealed it, and according to the season that history claims existed in that time, the first or second week in September. The Christians have made holidays which are used mostly for commercialization. They buy wine, whiskey, and beer, and fatten up pigs and hogs for the kill, and roast this divinely prohibited flesh to celebrate what the Christians call the birthday of the Son of Man. Jesus condemned such things as drunkenness and the eating of swine flesh. The act that they carry on for the celebration of Jesus' birth is perfect for Nimrod, who actually was born on the 25th of December, according to the scientists and historians, as well as the words of God himself spoken to me. Nimrod was an enemy of God and one who came in the last 300 years of the 2,000 years of Moses. He led the white man against the laws of Moses and the worship of Allah. He, Nimrod, wanted them to worship idols and that which was other than God, as they did in ancient Rome. Let us, my followers, remember the right way. Waste not your earnings in such ways as worshiping and feasting as the Christians do. They only say and do not. They have taken for themselves the prophet of God. They, subhanAllah, they have taken for themselves the prophet of God, and that's prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T, and the place of God. In this month of fasting, we shall keep our minds and hearts clean, and we shall not indulge in the eating of meat, land meats. You may eat fish and such fat products which come from land animals, such as butter and cheese. In this month, we should keep our minds on Allah, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, my God and your God, and my Savior and Deliverer, and your Savior and Deliverer, to whom be praises forever for giving us life after our mental death for the past 400 years. During this month, eat before day and after the sun goes down, if you wish, but not during the daylight hours. This also goes for drinking. Drink whatever you are going to drink either before dawn or after dark. The eating before dawn is for those of us who love to eat breakfast in the morning. But if you eat one meal a day, you may eat that meal either before dawn or after dark. It is better for your health, however, to eat one meal after dark. Keep up prayer, and let us all be grateful to Allah for his coming in the person of Master Farad Muhammad throughout the month of December and every month. And during this month, let there be no quarreling or disputing in our homes or abroad. Now, having read that, Brother Eddie.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. I'm still going to, even though our two beloved queens have given us the answer, and the words of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad back up everything they said, everything the Queen Aziz said, everything Sister Diatoma said, I'm yet going to ask you that same question. Why did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad instruct us to fast for Ramadan in December?
Well, the best thing to do when the man backs up your sister is to do the same thing. So that's all I'm going to do.
Yes, sir.
What he did had such wisdom, no matter from what angle that you look at. And I'm going to reiterate, but I'm also going to give what I see, and if we can agree with that, if I'm correct.
Yes, sir.
The first thing is the obvious, that one, it was the shortest days of the year, and he had introduced Islam to a people that had not had their natural religion in 400 years. So the shortest days of the year is a people who had not ever fasted. And so our patience with that and knowing our development, he gave us a time which was the shortest month, the shortest days, not shortest month, but the shortest days to allow us to build and grow into our natural self. Well, we know through the teaching that our fathers ate one meal every 7 days, but we were so far from that, three every day, and snacks in between, it was something else to ask us to do something like Ramadan. So it was wise in that sense. The second thing is about that time of December. The Caucasian's religion is the crucial tool, the crucial facet of his conquering of us. He inserted religion after a couple hundred years of now allowing us to even be Christians, because he saw it as a tool that would further our mental enslavement. So the second principal part, or rather the principal part of that principal part, is their teaching of Jesus. And that time of Christmas, the critical time of that deception, because you're worshiping the birth of Jesus when it's really the birth of the great rebeller Nimrod. You're worshiping the Caucasian even as he has painted himself Jesus. You're spending all of your money and your hard-earned things with the Caucasian in celebration of this pagan holiday, even though I thought for birthdays you gave it to the man and not everybody else. This is the time when so many of our families have their hearts set
because many of us, I was listening to a discussion today about a man was talking about this mother and her children, how she wasn't a mother because in 10 years she hadn't even given her children a gift for Christmas. And even though we understand the sentiment, it is amazing how the enemy has inserted his falsehood into such an important thing as family, that it becomes necessary to be involved in that deception to even have or meet the standard of good family, if I'm making sense to us.
Yes, sir.
So we're fasting and letting go of all of that. We're letting go of all of the paradigms of wickedness and deceit that he has created, and that all culminates in this one month: economic deceit, economic slavery, religious slavery, physical slavery. Fasting from the foods, and the foods that we eat during Christmas are not good foods, but it's the Christmas ham, the Christmas pork, the Christmas swine. We're fasting from all of these things in a time where it is easiest and hardest for us. Easiest for us physically, but hardest for us culturally, because this is what we're shaped and rolled and molded in. He's pulling us from that love of that false Jesus. He's pulling us from all of that in this one month. Look at the depth of that wisdom to take us from all of that through something as simple as Ramadan. And the second thing is that he saw something unique to us. He saw a condition that even though Islam is universal, he chose for us something because he did not have us following the Arabs. He had us separated from the Arabs because we are the ones who come to set the Arabs right. So in doing that, he made us unique. He made us new. He did not make us followers of them. And now the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan can put us in unity with them on the time, because now we have an established identity as the black man and woman of America, as Muslims in the Nation of Islam, so that we know we're not following them, but now we have a matured understanding that we can now go to unifying with them with an identity rather than unifying with them with no identity, if I make it sense. So this is the wisdom that I see, and that is in the Messenger giving us Ramadan during the time of Christmas. And not to go past the question with and talking about Minister Farrakhan, but that's important. But that is why he gave it to us. It was our unique condition. And understanding our unique condition, he made a wise choice in delivering a specific and special medication to a specific and special problem.
Yes, sir. All praise due to Allah. Yes, sir. Absolutely. And before we move on, I want to share something else. Now, in dealing with fasting, some things that some individuals may or may not know. Now, some individuals may think that it's just fine that you get up in the morning and you make Fajr prayer, you know, and then you abstain from consuming liquid and food throughout the day. However, my understanding of the spiritual aspects of this is that it honestly, and we know that Allah judges us on our intentions, so that we actually have to make an intention. You know, you speak the intention to fast, and we're fasting. As you said, we know what the benefits are, and we'll get into those too also in depth. But we know what the benefits are, the physical and the spiritual benefits are. But honestly, when we begin to fast, actually all the actions that we take, we should take those actions strictly for the glory of Allah and Allah alone. One of the things, I'm just going to read here what it says, and this is again coming from the book of Sufi Healing, and the chapter is Fasting the Best Medicine, and I'm also going to read from Hadi Khalil, pardon me, on that also. It says, number one, the niyat, or intention to fast, must be made aloud or silently. Two, the period of the fast must extend from the time just before sunrise, Fajr, until it says just after sunset, Maghrib. However, according to the instructions of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, see, because when we go to Maghrib, sometimes it's not completely dark. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said dark. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan recently reiterated that. We don't eat until it's dark. all praise is due to Allah. It says, during the period of the fast, total abstinence from the following is required. Food, drink, including water. Here they say smoking or consumption of tobacco. Well, us being followers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that's not one we have to concern ourselves with because we don't smoke or drink alcohol anyway. It says sexual intercourse. And now listen to this. And any form of negativity, backbiting, fighting, cursing, arguing, and similar behaviors. It also says here, not being vulgar, semen may not be deliberately emitted, nor may one deliberately vomit. Pregnant or lactating women, the seriously ill, the aged, and the insane are exempted from fasting, but in some cases may be liable to make up missed days. A woman does not fast on days when she is menstruating, but must make up the missed days. When her period ends, she must resume fasting. Children under the age of 12 generally are excluded from the fast, but may fast part of the day or for some of the days. It says the fast is broken after sunset with a date or a glass of water, followed by a modest meal. And I want to say something here that I've noticed, having been around some of the other Muslims, you know, I noticed I've been around them during the month of Ramadan for a number of years, and I'll notice that they will, as soon as they break the fast, I mean, they will eat all night long up until Fajr. Okay. It's not a good practice because of health reasons anyway. However, one of the things it does instruct in here is that we eat a modest meal. One of the instructions that have been given is that we eat a meal the equivalent of what a poor person would have, because part of this fasting process is to give us strength, but also to remind us of those who are doing without. Now, I'm going to start with you, Sister Diatoma, with this next question. And that is, what are the benefits of fasting? And if you would go into more detail, please.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. I actually want to read something, and you brought it right up into it, from the religion of Islam, from Maulana Muhammad Ali.
Yes, ma'am.
It says, the physical value of fasting, it's a whole chapter, but I'm going to go just on page 359, just the physical value of fasting. It says, refraining from food during stated intervals does no physical harm to a healthy person. On the contrary, it does some good. But fasting has yet another and more important physical value. The man who cannot face the hardship of life, who is not able to live at times without his unusual comforts, cannot be said to be even physically fit for life or on this earth. The moment such a man is involved in difficulty or distress, as he must be every now and again, his strength is liable to give way. Fasting accustoms him to face the hardships of life, being in itself a practical lesson to that end, and increases his power of resistance. Now, from that, I get this. It's actually beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. What you said, that you eat a modest meal because people that don't have, and that's with life itself. When we're not able to pay our rent, when we're not able to pay our gas bill, when we're not able to do the things in life that others seem to be just something convenient in life, but for others they're not able to call. Fasting, a person who are spiritually inclined, who are connected to the divine, when they fast, they're able to hold on to the grace of Allah, that Allah promised us, because like Allah said, He has promised us, trials are ordained. But within, which fasting is one of our five pillars of our faith. So within our pillars of our faith, we have the fasting. So it's ordained for us to be able to know that if we go into our fasting, we go into our purification mode, we're able to hold on to Allah. So you know what, Allah? I might not have this at that minute, at that moment, but I'm going to go ahead and rely on you, and I'm going to put off what I can put off. I might not be able to pay that charity. I might not be able to say, hey, this, I have this, I have that, but I am able to perform that. What you consider to my daily duty, I'm going to let that go, and I'm going to lean on you and say, hey, just give me the strength. And I'm here witness with strength and fasting because it's exhausting. It actually gives you more energy. Your body is rejuvenating itself, so you're able to think, you're able to see, you're able to understand, and you're able to hear more clear than you do when, instead of when you're just putting all this food in you. And I bear witness because I'm gonna say this more quickly than I'll go. When I was going through a lot of me on a journey. A transformational journey. And in this transformational journey, he had me eating every other day. Not able to eat daily because of the physical pain that he had me going through. And I had to sustain from food. I lost over 130 pounds. 130 pounds. So, and I was able to hear, I was able to see, I was able to speak clearly, and I was able to be able to go through my child with a clear and a clear of what it is Allah was trying to take me to. So I'll
put it
to Allah. I just
want to hear that. Yes, ma'am. All praises due to Allah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Brother Eddie.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. And again, and before I have you answer that question, again, I want for those who would say that, again, that we're deviating, here from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad out of his own mouth, as he says, from God in person, Master Farad Muhammad, by Elijah Muhammad, Messenger of Allah, How to Eat to Live, it's on page 19, entitled Fasting. And I'm just going to read the first paragraph where he says, fasting is a greater cure of our ills, both mental and physical, than all of the drugs of the earth combined into one bottle or a billion bottles. Allah, God, in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, has taught me that fasting with the right kind of food is the cure for our ills. He has said to me that there is no cure in drugs and medicine, and this the world is now learning. We can take medicine all of our lives until it kills us, yet we are still ailing with the same old diseases. And that having been said, I'm coming to you with that same question. What are the benefits of fasting?
I am not a doctor medical scientist by any means, but I can come from experience and the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and with some testimony.
That's right.
My father joined the Nation of Islam in 91, and I was a baby then, maybe 2 years old. And in that time, I've watched him grow in the nation, and inshallah, he will continue to grow. And one of the things that he became focused on later in his growth, that aspect of the teaching that he took on, was how to eat to live. Our family was very, very, very strict. While many of us, not to put anyone down, but just actual facts, but many of us believers really kind of played around with the dietary law. That is the one thing that he did not allow us to deviate from.
Yes, sir.
You know, absolute dietary principle. The message said don't eat peas. Peas were not brought into the home. We didn't eat corn. Corn was not brought into the home. We used to no meat. And when the minister said, let's all get off of meat, that's exactly what we did on time. He was very strict about that. And later, something else happened in development. He started to look at the interval. And one meal a day he fasted, and then he took on this thing of one meal every 2 days. And this is a man that works in a factory, but he took on one meal every 2 days. And for the past now, some maybe 10 to 12 years, I would say 10 years, he has been faithfully working ungodly hours, but faithfully one meal every 2 days and documents every day. Here's a man who is 48 years old. I'm 25 in a few days. And me and him look the exact same age. hair for hair, except for one or two genetic gray hairs that all my particular men in my family get kind of early, you would know the difference. To the every skin tone, you would never know the difference between him and I, except he is perhaps a shade darker. Fasting is life itself. Fasting is what prohibits or undoes the death that food, especially food in this world, does to us. When we restrain from that food and we actually give that food that we have eaten time to be worked, the body that Almighty God Allah gave us has time to do the work of separating and expelling from us that food properly. The more we eat and the less we give our bodies the essence of that interval, the more we overwork and destroy ourselves. That is not necessarily Ramadan in full.
Yes, sir.
That interval is absolutely on the principle of health and life rejuvenation. You know, so I can speak on it in that effect and seeing it in reality. That fasting is more critical than any medicine and any surgery can ever do for us. And it is an absolute builder of the will. So when we talk about why fast, the question should not be why fast, it should be why live. Because fasting is life. It is the extension of life. And proper fasting, as taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, is the key to that long life and life more abundantly that the Jesus is supposed to give us. And I don't know, the individual biological principles and effects that it gives, and those are things I'm studying, but I can see it happen. And I have seen it happen through that example that Almighty God Allah has blessed me to have, to see it in motion, to see his age actually go backwards. And he joined the nation when he was 22, and never had he gained 1 year, except for that one stray gray hair, which sometimes I grow up and see him in the mornings picking them out in the mirror. So when I say what is the effects, those are the terms I put it in, to see him never ate. And I grew up into a man now, and to look like him, and not to say that likeness that we say, that he looks like him, but he's an older version. No, we're the same exact version. You can absolutely tell I'm his son. And that's not a boast of him or anything, but that is a boast of the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You see, Allah gives us examples for a reason, you know, use and share those examples with the believers that we might be more encouraged to follow this life-giving teaching. This is life, man. And I can't only say it but so many ways, but this is life. Fasting is it. Fasting is the key along with the other dietary principles. You can follow all the dietary principles, but if we neglect that interval, if we neglect that fasting, if we neglect Ramadan, then it does not matter. Cows are vegetarian. The cows eat all day long. Many animals are vegetarian, and they eat all day long, and their lifespan is not but a few years. But
that's
the
right.
Black man eats the secret that teaches us how to live 1,000 years, and that is not on the constant consumption level of beasts. Fasting means that we are no longer feeding on food, but we are giving our body time to feed on spiritual food. Time to stop wasting energy digesting, and time to give ourselves energy of thinking. And that thought, vibrating at the speed of 24 billion miles per second, is the energy of life that gives our bodies that shine. As most Minister Farrakhan said, that the thought on the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad vibrates at a frequency higher than that of anyone else, because it is absolute truth. Before we created the sun, we gave light. And we created the sun from ourselves. So this is, fasting is one of the keys, if not the key, to life life and life more abundant. And that's my answer to that.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Absolutely. Now, I want to share some definitions here before I get into this next aspect of our discussion, because now we're going to get into some of the quote-unquote controversy. Now, it says fast, all right? When we're talking about fast, the word fast means this, or is defined as firmly fixed, not easily freed, loyal, moving or able to move rapidly. And we talked about earlier in our discussion the fact that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad chose for us. He says that he chose for us for several years at that time when he was doing the writing, the month of December, for us to fast as in the month of Ramadan. And it defines the word chosen as selected. It defines the word as to some degree or amount. And it defines the word in, position within limits, instrumentally, qualification or circumstance, purpose. And now, having shared those definitions, Queen Aziza.
I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to give you a chance to respond before I began to ask the question. When is Ramadan?
I don't know why you want to ask me all the hard questions. When is
everybody
Ramadan?
Everybody else going to get the same question. Yes, <ma'am. laughs>
Well, you know, there's, how can I put it? There's a universal Ramadan. I would think, like for me, I would say now is when the entire Muslim world are to be unified in the practicing of Ramadan. But Ramadan is every day.
Come on now.
In actuality, at some point every day in your life, you are to fast. And in the practice of eating one meal a day, inshallah, we are adhering to the time that we have that meal, you know, in the evening or whenever. But, you know, you take a fast and a recognition or remembrance of Allah every day. There's a part of Ramadan that is not so much dealing with the physical, but dealing with the spiritual. When you do ablution, when you do prayer, when you consume that food, we have to learn the proper reasons to consume food, not just because we have a taste for something or not just because the food is in the refrigerator, but to sustain life. And that is the reason why we as Muslims are supposed to be working towards, if we're not already there, consuming a meal every other day, because it's just to nourish our bodies, just to nourish this physical vessel, but to restrain and to purify ourselves for a time, because now we are in a time where a lot of things are going to take place. So we might not have the accessibility to food. And so that is also a practice of preparation that we're going to have in the event that we are not able to go out to into the street and get food for ourselves. And so all of it works together for a significant purpose and for a significant time. And so all of these years that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has been preparing us and encouraging us to
you know, fast and how to eat to live, he's preparing us for a time. Not only will we have to deal with fasting and prayer on a physical level, but also on a spiritual level. How are we to survive in the time of jihad? What are we to do? How will our families survive if we can't get out to grocery stores and things like that, or when our food supply is limited that we're supposed to have stored up? Then we're going to have a timetable in which we consume food so we can make sure we have food to last through a difficult time. So it all has a purpose. So Ramadan, to answer your question, Brother Kareem, is really every day, because every day we are supposed to be striving towards the way of Allah, but also in preparation for the days that we know that are coming. And we as Muslims, if we believe in what we have been taught, if we believe in the war of Armageddon, then there's a preparation that has to take place. And so fasting should be something that we do on a regular basis in order to survive. And that's my answer.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you. And a very concise and on-point answer it is. All right. Now, to the second queen on the line, Sister Diatoma.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Yeah, I have to wait for a response. You know what I mean? I'm asking you the same question. When is Ramadan?
When is it?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the ninth month of the calendar year, and it is the sighting of the new crescent moon. However, I believe, like Sister said, Ramadan can be every day when we are abstaining from the things of this world. We're trying to remove ourselves from this world. We're wanting to get rid of the old and take on the new, take on the things that are of this world. Interesting history with Ramadan. Prior to the pre-Islamic calendar I was studying, but also this particular month, during Jihad, the tribe, the first part of the Jews, they used to fast ashore, which also considered the ninth month of Ramadan. They marked two historical events. One of them was for the day that Noah had left the ark after the great flood, and the other day was when Musa had saved the Egyptians, was saved from the Egyptians by God. So Ramadan, I believe, is going to be a spiritual healing for us, the children of Israel, here in America. It's going to be a very big thing. Allah is preparing us for what is to come. To keep our stomach under discipline, to keep our thoughts and minds under discipline. Ramadan, for me, again, is every day, because every day is born into the kingdom of God. Understand it. Why are you trying to bring out of universal being, and why are you putting these, I don't want to say hardship, because I look at Ramadan as a hardship. I look at it as more of a spiritual growth. I believe he's putting these things on so we can be able to endure, is the best word to come up with, for lack of any other word. When things are going to hit the fan, it's going to be a lot of us that's going to starve to death. Because we cannot discipline our stomach, we cannot discipline our earthly desires. It's gonna be a lot of us is gonna go completely mad and crazy. But he's setting us up for a day of complete destruction. So all praises be to Allah. Ramadan me again is every day, because every day I'm learning how to discipline my body, my mind, my soul, and my being. Praise be to Allah.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm off.
Yes, ma'am. I have a question to ask you, because it seems like while you're talking, sometimes you're fading in and out. I don't know whether you're on speaker or.
Oh, I'm on. Hold on. I go to the phone. I'm on my Bluetooth. I'll go to the phone.
Yes, ma'am.
Is this better?
Yes, ma'am.
It's just, okay. Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. All praise be to Allah. Yes, ma'am. That's much better, because we want to absorb all of this meal that you, that, you know, that Allah is blessing us with from you during this time.
Yes, sir.
Now,
yes, sir.
Now, before I go to Brother Eddie, so that we can get this cold, I'm going to say it like this, get this cold-blooded bomb teaching, you know, because that's what we're going to get.
I know that's right. You're teaching God too, ain't you?
Yes, he is. I'm going, before I ask you that same question, I'm going to preface it with this. Now, like I said earlier, we mentioned in the broadcast that, you know, you got a lot of individuals that say that those of us who are with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan say that, oh, well, we've deviated. Oh, y'all following them Arabs. That ain't Ramadan. Umbilaz Muhammad said that Ramadan was in December. However, going back to the Most Humble Muhammad's words, and I've heard individuals, and this is their justification for saying what they say, is when the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad makes this statement and says, I have chosen for quite a few years the month of December for my followers to fast as in the month of Ramadan, and this is the justification for their statements. It serves as a sign that we, the lost and found nation, are the end of all signs pertaining to the pilgrimage, Hajj, and the fasting in the month of Ramadan. And that's the justification for saying that, well, we've deviated because we are taking Ramadan, as it's called, in unity with all the other Muslims. Now, that having been said, I'm going to ask you the question, my brother. When is Ramadan?
I like to start where you started with the naysayers. And the Quran often tells us a couple of times, you know, we say to the naysayers, for you your way is, and for us our way, for you your recompense, and for us our recompense. So one, we're not concerned with what they say, but two, we'd like to answer you anyway, just because we can.
Yes, sir.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to me, just continue to hear our Minister Farrakhan. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was dealing with a specific time and a specific teacher.
That's right.
For a specific condition. But you will hear in his words to Minister Farrakhan, to he recognized that time would change the condition and the parameters, so the language would have to change. Our supreme wisdom says that you don't accept baby language. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was dealing with a baby people. That is why he told the minister, no longer use the term devil, but use the term Satan, the enemy, the slave master's children. He's telling us, grow up. Minister Farrakhan said that when he first came back to rebuild the work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he already knew those instructions. But he used that old language that we like so much, the devil, cracker, such and so, because he knew where we were. And in order for us to not think that he had deviated or changed, he had used that language until he got us up. And after waking us up, then he took us to the next level of understanding, the next level of language, without changing the teaching, but instead elevating. You know, we've all taken mathematics, some of us further than others. But no matter how high in mathematics you go, 2 + 2 is always 4. 6 + 8 is always 12, and nothing plus nothing equals nothing. No matter how many derivatives and negatives and irrational numbers and the different forms of mathematics I create, they all make no sense unless two is two every time. So no matter how far we develop, the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad never changed, because when you change them, then at that point he becomes what he challenged us that he wasn't, and that was defeatable. The moment you change the teaching, then it loses that essence of his teachings, which he said is an invincible truth.
Come
and
on.
As long as Minister Farrakhan is still giving us an invincible truth, then that essence is still the same. It is always, so if nine, if invincible, let's give invincible a number and say it's nine. The moment we add anything to or take anything from nine, then it loses the quality of the number nine. So the same with the teaching. If he added or took anything away, then it would lose its quality, but it still has the strongest effect. It is that evolutionary teaching that brought 2 million men when only one was called to Washington, D.C. It is that evolutionary teaching that called out the Satan, the ADL, the FBI, the NSA, all of Satan's institution. It calls them out for a showdown, and they can't answer because they don't have an answer. It is that evolutionary teaching that is making all of us warriors on social media of every age defending the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad with grace and perfection. It is that evolutionary teaching that even the naysayers still have to answer to, because they refuse to grow in the teaching. And they refuse to reap the benefits of those teachings. So, you know, to their answer, they have, to their question, they really have no true understanding of the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They actually refuse the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Because I will tell you what, brother, no matter how much they claim the quote about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, tell them to remember the instructions of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to continue to hear Minister Farrakhan, that he is a bearing of witness of him. And they will have nothing in response to that except hate and slander and gossip. And at that point, they have rejected the restrictive law. And at that point, they are no longer followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. For rejection of his man that he put before us is the same as those who rejected Elijah Muhammad when Master Farad Muhammad left him as his supreme minister. But on to the question of what time is Ramadan.
You better teach. I'm sorry, I had to say that. You better teach, boy. Ooh.
He's wrong.
All praises to God. I'm sorry, I had to get out. I had to come out my amen corner on that one. You better teach.
Yes, ma'am. All praises due to Allah. Yes, ma'am. Well,
that's right.
Now, you always got to get approval from your sisters to let you know you're okay.
That's right.
Real quick, the Minister Farrakhan said it takes a real woman to tell you whether or not you're a man, so that's good. I'm feeling okay about myself now.
Come on, man.
On the time of Ramadan, the physical fasting during the daylight hours is during this ninth month of that particular calendar, this particular period between two moons. But what made the teachings, or what makes the teaching so relative, is the mission behind it. That's what makes the teaching so timely. You know, that Paul said he saw Jesus as a man out of due season. So he had the right teaching, but the mission wasn't on time. Well, Ramadan, its mission is on time, all the time. It is every day because of the fact that its purpose is for this entire time, not just these months. What I mean is it's the growth. It is the restriction of those mental evil, slander, gossip, the things that we in the Nation of Islam live in our restrictive law. Only Allah says that you are the best nation. You are enjoying good and you forbid evil. We are forbidden evil. That is against our law. You can't even be in our nation. We are Ramadan. We're Ramadan every day. When you sign on to the Nation of Islam and you pledge yourself to those restrictive laws and you pledge yourself to study and become a student, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, quote, I have no dumb followers, then you are doing Ramadan. All the time. As brother said, we don't have to worry about not smoking and not drinking during the hours because we live that. That's what we do every day. We are taught one meal a day while the rest of the Muslim world eats all day, every day, the same as the Caucasian world. But we are already on point. We shouldn't have much of a problem except with the drinking of water. we shouldn't have much problem with Ramadan because it's already in line with what we do. We eat one meal a day. We're just changing up the times a little bit. We're just shifting a few hours back and forth. So it's the same thing we do every day. We are, a brother asked me when I was at work, he asked me, what is the culture of Islam, the nation of Islam? And I said, I don't like the term of that question, even though it is a good question, because the term of that question says that it's something defined or it's something restricted to a certain set of behavior. No, it is not. Islam, the nation of Islam, is the sun, moon, and star. It is the universe. It is the natural order of life. The first law of life is motion. The second is order. We are in motion and we are in order. We are Ramadan. And as the black man is timeless, then our Ramadan is timeless. We are given Ramadan because the same way Allah says, who came in the person of Master Muhammad, says in the Holy Quran, that this day have I perfected for you your religion and giving you Islam as a religion. As means it's not this what it was created for, what it is, but we're using it in the form or function of. I mean, I'm giving it to you under restriction until you get back to your natural, then it is natural for you and you don't need the restriction. Ramadan, the 30 days is simply the restriction of what our normal nature is. And then when we come into our nature, we no longer need that when that day comes. So when is Ramadan? Ramadan is from the moment of creation to the end. It is the growth and development of the black man, which we have been doing for 76 trillion years in self-experimentation, developing and purifying ourselves every 35,000 and then 25,000 years after the deportation of the moon. Ramadan is time. Ramadan is Islam, and we are Ramadan. That's what
Go ahead, bro. Don't stop.
that's really where I was going to go in. But that's what I was feeding from, you know, Sister Aziza and Sister, name slips me.
Diatoma.
I apologize. Sister Diatoma, thank you. That's feeding from you all. That's what I see in what Ramadan is. All praise due to Allah.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. And I thank you for that, brother. And now, for those who may want to continue to disagree and say what they have to say about the fact that they say, okay, that we're deviating, let me share with you the words of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, or as he says, from God in person, Master Farad Muhammad, by Elijah Muhammad, Messenger of Allah, How to Eat to Live, Book 2. You look on page 48 of Book 2. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad makes this statement in the first paragraph on that page. He says, we, the righteous, must fast as long as we are present and among the unrighteous. So fasting is prescribed for us as well as those people before us. Let us take a look at the verse in the Holy Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 183, translated by Maulana Muhammad Ali, copyright 1963. O you who believe, fasting is prescribed for you, as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may guard against evil. Here it tells us why fasting is prescribed for us. It guards us against doing evil. Read the footnote of Maulana Muhammad Ali's translation of this chapter for footnote number 225. And then you have a newer edition. The footnotes are slightly different. It's the same footnote, it's just the numbering is different on it. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad says right here, we here, Elijah Muhammad and his followers, I prescribe for you the month of December to fast in, if you are able to take the fast instead of the regular month that travels through the year called Ramadan by the Muslims, the month in which they say Muhammad received the Holy Quran. He then goes on to state, why did I prescribe for you the month of December? It is because it was in this month that you used to worship a dead prophet by the name of Jesus.
And it was the month that you wasted your money and wealth to worship the 25th day of this month, December, as the Christians do. The Christians know that it is not the birthday of Jesus, for they do not know the birthday of Jesus. No one knows it, because being persecuted by the Jews, Joseph and Mary feared the death of not only their newborn baby they were bringing to birth, but even feared for their own lives for committing the act out of wedlock. They feared Herod and his army and the religious set of the Jews, condemning them to be punished to death. But they were not to be killed, for they were for a sign of the black man in America, according to the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran, chapter 4, verse 171. Now, let's get some clarity here on when Ramadan is. In the word, according to the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, out of How to Eat to Live, book number 2, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, starting on page 57, states, I will take you further into the knowledge if you write me, as space here in our book is limited. Then going to page 58, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad states this concerning Ramadan. The Muslims, as I foresaid, do not eat nor drink from before sunrise until after the sun has set. If you take it, the fast of Ramadan, with them, you are doing the right thing until this evil world has vanished. Let me repeat that. The Muslims, as I foresaid, do not eat nor drink from before sunrise until after the sun has set. If you, speaking to his followers, take it, the fast of Ramadan, with them, you are doing the right thing until this evil world has vanished. Take it or let it alone. Now, we're going to our last question. It's 9:27. We still got some time here. And I want to remind anyone that's out in the listening audience, also anyone that's in the chat room, if you have a question or comment, please, if you are on the phone, hit the numeral one, or the number, pardon me, the number one on your dial pad, and we will gladly bring you in on the call.
Brother Kareem, if you don't mind.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
I'm sorry if you don't mind. I know there were some problems with the phone earlier.
Yes,
I don't know if everybody was able to get through or in the chat room, but we do have people on Google Chat as well with questions.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We will take those questions now. We don't want to hold them up. All praises do to Allah.
Yes, sir. Okay, Sister Karen wants to know if Elijah Muhammad is, okay, wait a minute, hold on. Oh,
yes,
if Elijah Muhammad is with the rest of the Islamic world, what makes the Nation of Islam so different? Okay.
Whoever wants to feel that, I mean, I can feel it, but I'm hosting.
Can you repeat that question, sister?
Go ahead.
Can you repeat
it? She says if Elijah Muhammad is with the rest of the world, what makes the Nation of Islam so different? Somebody answer her, please, before I do.
Yes, ma'am. I'll say, go ahead, brother.
Islam was not created by the Arabs. Islam was brought by Almighty God Allah. And as a religion, not the nature, but as a religion, was given through the Quran, through Prophet Muhammad. The Arab world, and if I'm understanding your question correctly, but I think I understand your logic a little bit, the Arab world has fallen away, the same as the Christian world has fallen off the teachings of Jesus. It is plagued by racism, the white supremacy complex, sexism, greed, all of the evils that plague Christianity plague the Muslim world. Islam is has not changed, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is not off of Islam. So to say that in your question, you are saying that if we are saying the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is in line with the Muslim world, then the Muslim world is no different. No, he is not in line with the Muslim world. When you referring to us practicing Ramadan with the Muslim world, but our understanding is far deeper than that of the Muslim world, because God came in person to us, as Prophet Muhammad said, that Islam would rise in 1,000 years, and it will come from the West. And the book of Matthew, I think it is, says that a lightning shines from the east, even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So the return of Islam is in the West. The understanding, the book, and the wisdom is coming up from the West, from the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The practice alone is not the essence of Islam. Doing Hajj, Ramadan, five daily prayers, these are just practices, but it's form without substance unless you have the understanding and the teaching and the divine guidance. So no, we may be in line with them in the practice, the physical aspect, hey, this particular term, but the understanding, the purpose, and the mission, they must get in line with us as the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the coming of Master Farah Muhammad, God in person, is the light that will set that world that has died 3 generations after Prophet Muhammad and bring it back into the right course. And that's how I'll respond to that question.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. And I will say this, right on top of what my brother has said, understanding this, that when we say Islam, as my brother said, we're not talking about a religion. Allah states in the Quran, he gave us Islam as a religion. Islam is our nature. Islam means, at its root, peace. The only way you're going to have true peace is with total submission to the will of God. When the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that we are right if we take Ramadan with the rest of the Muslim world, we have to understand that among all peoples, there are righteous people. And so in taking Ramadan, we are coming in line and in unity with the righteous. As my brother said, it's not just about the physical aspect of it, but what it is all righteous minds coming together. That's where we're at. And as he stated, for example, just one example, I know individuals use this statement, they say signs and symbols are for the conscious mind. However, we talked about earlier in this broadcast the fact of being in tune with nature itself. Well, you have to look at the fact that even our flag, that symbol, shows you that this is a new world, if you will, of Islam. Our crescent moon, the crescent that we have, is a waxing crescent representing something that's new, new birth, growing, coming in. Their crescent is a waning crescent, indicating a world and a thought system and a process that's going out. All praise is due to Allah.
Yes.
So
can I
say something, please?
Yes, ma'am. You go right ahead. I mean, go right ahead.
You know, maybe it's just me, but I just, you know, I don't know. Allah just put it in my spirit. I pick up on people's spirit, especially when they communicating with me. But let me say this, you know, the Nation of Islam in itself, the reason why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is so different, or the Nation of Islam, as you asked, is so different, is because there was a different process of this development of Islam in this side of the world. Because God came himself for his people. And when God came himself, God taught his messenger himself. So it's very significant from the Arabic world, who has been invaded by white Persians that have changed the root of their so-called religion. And that's why they call it a religion, because Islam in itself is a way of life. So when we talk about the practice of true Islam, you can have a religion, something that you believe in, but when you can go throughout your life not living the example of what you say you believe in, you're a hypocrite. So the Arab world has been very hypocritical, and I don't want to step on nobody's toes, but I'm going to tell you the truth. You can ask Salam Aleikum all day long, but when you turn around and eat a pork chop or drink liquor or smoke weed or beat your wife or cheat on your wife, you're not living the life of a Muslim. You're
That's
living
right.
the life of a hypocrite. So we have a man who has been taught to hold us accountable to the law that Allah himself set for us. The religion of all people, no matter what you title it, is obedience to God. That's the religion. But how do you submit to what you say you believe? You have to have a ritualistic way of life. That ritualistic way of life has to be obedience to God. Well, how do you usher in obedience? Mere faith accounts for nothing unless what? Carry it into practice.
Come on.
So if you go to the Arabic world, you will see that they're not necessarily held accountable for their actions, and that the things that they do, even prayer, even Ramadan, is more ritualistic than it is a way of life. You can have all the rituals that you want, but if it's not your way of life, you are not living in accordance to Allah, you are not being obedient to God, therefore you really have no religion. So I'm through.
Oh, shut up. Well,
if I can inject something right quick, if that's all right.
Go ahead.
On the spirit that we often answer questions that are, I'm going to use this term, don't take me too seriously, but that we may find insulting to us. We respond to you out of love for you because we want you to have knowledge. But remember that when you question it, and if we detect a spirit of animosity, it is because, and if it is wrong, correct us. But remind, this is something that gave us life. And the first law of life is self-preservation. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says in the book, The Meaning of FOI, there is no wrath like the wrath of Allah and the wrath of his servants when they are angered. And so when we respond in a strong spirit, don't get put off, but rather take from that strength and recognize the strength behind that truth and the truth behind that strength. Then you latch on to it and you become strong. We're not weak people. Allah came to make us gods. Master Farad Muhammad came to make us like him. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that we become gods, we no longer need him. Because he came to make us all the way up into himself, and he is made all the way up into Master Farad Muhammad. So
now,
don't be put off by the way we talk. We just not weak. We're not Sunday morning special preachers. We are those speaking with a trumpet trying to wake up the dead.
And it is very hard, no matter how hard you yell, to wake up the dead. So see the life and the love in what we say, no matter how strong it is, because it is hard to find a strong black man and a strong black woman in this town. So take value in, rather than take offense, as we hurl truth and falsehood until it knocks out its brain. So I wanted to say that because I talk to our people a lot. We often feel like I'm being, and I'm right there with, because they feel I'm a little bit too aggressive or so. And, well, that's what strength looks like. You know, when a slave has never known freedom, he doesn't know how to act when he's free. So I wanted to say that, Brother Kareem, to our
guests. Yes, sir, all praise. Yes, sir, all praise is due to Allah.
I guess Brother Ed was trying to say that I was fussing. I'm not fussing.
I was not. Hey, I was not there.
But no, let me say this. Let me say this on top of what you said, because I hear what you're saying, and I know in my speech I'm passionate. But anybody that knows me knows that's how I speak. But let me tell you something about this day and this time. You know, all of our time, our sojourn here in America, ever since the so-called emancipation, emancipation proclamation, ever since that time, you know, when we started to stand up and fight for our rights in this country to be treated as a citizen, of a citizenship that, of course, we never even asked for. White people, and I do mean white people, have always managed to pacify us. And so they give you all of these psychology courses and things like that, talking to you about behaviors, and they try to calm you and try to satisfy you with propaganda. But let me tell you something. We're at a critical time, and we're past the time for hand-holding and cradle-rocking and bottle-feeding. Our people are dying. And when someone is killing you, they're not compassionate about it. They're not compassionate to your pain. They don't care about how you feel. They care less about what you think. And that's where this enemy is. So when we are on these airwaves each and every day, it's because we love our people. That's the only thing that keeps us going. Day after day after day after day is because we love our people. But I don't have the time. None of us have the time to hold your hand and take you through something that you know that is evident in your life every day. I don't have to tell you you catching hell. You know you catching hell. But do you know why you catching hell? And from whom are you catching it from? And what is creating the hell in you? We don't have time to be compassionate. Because after a while, they're going to be killing all of us and locking all of us up. How are we going to survive that? We're not going to have time to sit down and hold your hand and teach you a lesson and bottle feed you and burp you. We don't have time for that. We got 400 years plus of history of manslaughter, brutality, murder, injustice, lynching. We have the history that tells you that what the result of this man who's in power is going to be. And we're trying to get people to conform to the way of God. We're not trying to get you to be Muslim. We're trying to get you to live in a way that you can survive what is to come. Whether you Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, whatever, we just want you to survive. And the only way you're going to survive is obedience to God. I don't care what you title it. But we don't have time for compassion today, because trust and believe me, when that devil comes after you, he's not compassionate about it. When he kills our babies in the street, he doesn't have any compassion about it. When he sent us our young men who are 18, 19 years old to life in prison so they can work for free for the rest of their lives, he's not compassionate about it. So time is out for that. You've rejected the stone, but the minister is on TV every week telling you, you still got a chance. We just want you to take your chance. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to shut up.
Go ahead.
All praise is due to Allah. Sister Diatoma.
I'm hushed.
Yes, sir.
All praise is due to Allah. Yes, ma'am. I wanted to have you weigh in on that same question.
Well, I was quiet. I was going to come in at first when she first asked, because it did sound kind of sarcastic to me what the sister was, the question that the sister had asked, but I stepped back and let, you know, wisdom prevail, because all praise is due to Allah. I mean, they kind of answered it. See, we're given these teachings. God came for us, period. That's it. That's all. God came for us. Messengers came to everybody else. God came for us, period. That's simple. That's it. That's all. So when God say, here is something I'm going to give you, and everything he has said has not one thing been proven a lie, call him a lie. I want to see somebody step up and say he's a lie, and I can prove he's a lie. I tried. When I first came into the nation, I tried everything I could. I'm a sister that's going to do my research. I'm going to study, and I'm going to try to figure out why it is. And see, this is what most of us don't do. We don't like to read. Let's get to this today. We don't like to read. We don't like to step up. We don't like to put things down. We only want to go by hearsay, and we want to be recorders of the words, and we don't want to be doers of the words. We want to just sit there and lip confess everything we already heard. So it's time to read today. It's time to read, it's time to study, it's time to get in our books, it's time to understand, and then it's also time to ask Allah for clarification. Because God said, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be open. I did that. I asked him, before I came into the nation of Islam, I got on my knees, and I said, you know what? God, I don't want to be a hypocrite. If nothing else, well, I don't care what it is, I don't want to be a hypocrite, I want to know. So God said, okay, come on in here. I didn't get my accent until 2005, but I came into the nation in 2004. It took me almost a year before I accepted the truth. The reason why it took me almost a year, because God said, I'm going to set you up where can't nobody drop these documents off of your foundation ever again. So everything he had me study, and when I say everything, every sect, S-E-C-T-S, came to me when I came into Islam, the Nation of Islam. Everything from Royals group, the seventh whatever group, the all type of Orthodox Muslim groups, everything came at me. So I said, well, God, why are you allowing everything to come at me at the time you're allowing me to come at me? He said, because I want your foundation so strong that nothing that comes at you after this, it would not, if you could prove it true no matter what. And since I've been into the Nation of Islam under the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, all praises due to Allah, I have not been knocked up off my square. Everything that I have studied, everything that Allah has shown me, has been proven to be true. So this here, I know, came from God himself. There is no doubt in my mind. And the more and more I'm growing into this, see, I don't go off lip confession. I read nightly. I have 11 to 15 books on my bed alone. See, we got to study today. We got to understand that God came to us today. We got to understand that there is no more confusion. He came to remove that. And then if you're still in gross confusion, that's self-propelled. Because he's given us the truth. He's given it to us. It's been placed on at our table. All we got to do is eat the tree of life. Now, we've been given the tree of death. How many times are we going to keep eating the tree of death? It's life he's given us. But that's all I got to say.
Oh, please. Go ahead. That's right. Well, you heard it right here on Conscious Black Nation. There are no reality TV show Hollywood to get Muslim here. Oh,
praise Allah. Yes, sir.
Do we have...
Okay, Brother Kareem, we got one more question. We have one more question for Google Chat. If we cannot eat meat, what can we eat in place, I guess they're trying to say in place of.
Oh, in place of meat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, if you, I'll go at that first. First and foremost, we as human beings were not designed to consume meat. And you can go to the Bible and see that for yourself. I'm preambling this, this for a reason. Because when you look in there, if you notice, there are no instructions given on what type of flesh to eat until you get into the book of Deuteronomy. It's also in the book of Numbers and Leviticus, but more prominently in the book of Deuteronomy, instructions were given. That's because they were wandering in the wilderness, therefore they could not grow crops. So then they were told what type of flesh they could eat. But human beings are not designed to really digest flesh. And but however, in answer to the question, you, regardless of what this world tells you, and this is why it is vital, vital for you to get both books, How to Eat to Live 1 and 2. You must have these books and study them and then practice within them, and you'll get the good, fantastic results that come from practicing these teachings. However, regardless of what this world tells you, you do not need flesh to get protein. If you can get all the, you can get all the protein that you need for your body from vegetable sources, and the best source of that protein, as well as vitamin A and the many amino acids that our body needs, the mitochondria of our cells need to produce that life-giving energy, you can get from the small white or pink navy bean, also called the pulse. You can get that. So as opposed to eating meat or eating flesh, Imam Elijah Muhammad even told us in How to Eat to Live that we could eat fish. So we can, you can consume fish, but actually no flesh is good for us. But you can consume fish, but now, today, with all the poisoning and all the mercury in the water, even the fish is poisoned. So what we need to do is be on a complete vegetarian diet. And believe it or not, you actually get some vegetable protein from broccoli. You get some vegetable protein from cauliflower. As a matter of fact, most of your vegetables, you get protein from. But this is why we must have a balanced diet. However, I reiterate, as long as you make that small white or pink navy bean part of your daily diet, you will have all the protein you need, hands down. Now, if anyone has anything else to add to that, and I know they try to tell you about soy, again, this is why you need How to Eat to Live, because soy is not good for us. Now, Elijah Muhammad tells us that it's too rich. It literally is tearing up the digestive tract. So the soy is no good. I know they got the Morning Star and the Boca folks, all them people. Leave it alone. You just trade one poison for another. And if anyone else has anything to add to that, please do.
I'll throw something.
Well, I was going to say fish, but that's the only thing I know.
Mm-hmm. Eat beans. Navy bean, stick with the basics. I'm not a fan of people asking all the time, but what's a substitute for this? What's a substitute? No, they have substitutes in cigarettes now. Why don't you just let it go completely? You know it's bad. Stop trying to live it. No, you can't take no semblance or none of that to the hereafter, so just let it go. If you know it ain't good, just quit. Just quit. I don't need no smokeless cigarettes and no weedless weed and no meatless meat and no porkless porkless, Tony.
That's my answer.
Oh, God.
That's right.
Okay, listen, we have a couple of more questions. I know they waited to the last minute. Okay.
Yes,
right on the line, what you were saying, Brother Eddie, he said, how do Muslims deal with addiction like alcohol and cigarettes during Ramadan or period?
Period.
Go ahead, bro.
That was,
if you
well,
want,
I can, I
want
I can answer that,
okay.
But go ahead, brother.
I can answer that.
Well, I'm going to say what I say to everyone, and that's what the messenger said. He got a letter from a sister, and she was going all in about how did she quit smoking and what process. And the messenger sent her a letter back with three words: just do it.
That's right. Just quit.
Just don't do it. The mind moves at the rate of 24 billion miles per second. The moment you think it, the moment you don't, you've done it. Stop taking the yellow light and just stop. The reason why it takes us so long to quit, because we reminisce and all the time when I was such and it was so good. It just stop. Again, that's another substitute. We can't take forever. We take forever to quit because we're trying to find something else that does the same thing. Just stop doing it. It's just not even. Maybe it's insensitive, and I don't mean to be insensitive, but I can't stand that type of crap because it makes us seem weak. How do I give it? Just stop. You know what's killing you? Do you want to live? Then live. And it's just
well. Okay, hold on, Brother Eddie, now, because
let me say this right quick, because this, I'm not saying this from no high horse, because before I committed to the nation, I smoked, I drank, I smoked weed, and I fornicated. You know how long it took me to quit? The moment it took me to make a decision. And that's the moment it takes anybody, is to make the decision. I'm not holding myself over none of that. But what I'm saying is that when Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that the black man is God, then God moves at the rate of his will. And if the rate of your will is instant, then so be it. That's what Ramadan is for. So if you want to stop, then just stop. And then take the time that you use getting involved with that death, and use that to get involved with something else, because two things cannot occupy the same space at the same time.
Come on. All right, well, okay. I'm sorry. I have to go back to my clinical training. I am a clinician.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
First of all, let me say this. If you're suffering or dealing with addiction, absolutely everything that Brother Eddie said is correct. However, in all of my studies and 26 years of being a clinician, I understand what has happened to the chemical process of alcohol as well as nicotine. Know that when Philip Morris, I think, was the company that manufactured cigarettes, and I know I smoked for a long time. Excuse me. And there, when people were on this health conscious kick, they figured a way to compromise the dopamine in your brain. Excuse me. Oh, no, I sound like I smoke now. Goodness, I've been having this cold for a while. But when they compromise the dopamine in your brain, that is the natural chemical that soothes you or that comforts you in your brain. So, yes, the devil went in and figured out how to manipulate that process to make you more addicted to the cigarette and even the alcohol.
Sugar.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Queen Aziza?
I think she just came up online.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me see. Let me check the.
Okay, I'm sorry. I think my phone was going in and out. But anyway, the thing about that is, you know, a lot of people go through the process of weaning or whatever. But I tell you, the natural way to break any addiction is the consumption of cloves and nutmeg. And Anybody interested in getting the measurements, it's according to your body weight. You can inbox me on Facebook under Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad or under Aziza Queen Muhammad. There is a measurement that is according to your body weight. This is a natural way to get your dopamine under control, because these cigarettes and alcohol have been manipulated to work with, not against, to work with the dopamine in your brain, which increases your addiction ability. So if you're interested in finding that out, inbox me. And that's all I want to say on that.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Okay, you said we have one other question?
Yes. This is from Gary Stabak, something. Okay, I'm sorry, I can't pronounce your last name, Gary. Gary wants to know, what does he do with his Christian wife because there's no sex during Ramadan?
Okay, wait. Let me hold on. Wait, stop. There is no sex during the daylight hours.
Come
okay,
on.
You need to read your Quran. It's
yes, your, brother, read your Quran before you end up in divorce court.
Allah says that they are our tilth. So you go in unto them. In other words, after daylight, get busy. I'm gonna just be real with you. After daylight, get busy. Do not deny her. Oh, I don't know who told you that. Now we are Muslims. We're not extremists. All right. Get it straight now.
That was funny.
And any comments made on this show are Brother Kareem's and Kareem's alone.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Any comments made on this show, you attribute them to Kareem the Communicator and the producers of this show, which is your DJ production. However, what I'm saying to you is in Quran, you may go in unto your wife after dark, just like you can eat. In other words, all the things you would normally do that are normal, that are healthy, that you would do normally, you just abstain from them during the daylight hours. After dark, handle your business.
Yes, sir.
Turn off the light.
That is correct, Brother Gary. You can, participate in that process with your wife after dark. So,
that's right.
And if you want verification of that, go to but also Minister Farrakhan did a lecture on Ramadan, and you can also verify that again with him. Yes, sir.
Yes, you can. Absolutely.
Okay, well, that's all the questions I have.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. All right, so we will wind it up. We're at the end. Any closing comments? I'm going to start with you. Since you've been kind of quiet, Sister Diatoma, any closing comments?
I've been enjoying it. All praises due to Allah. Yeah, I just want to also just say, since the white man have to verify everything, because we as black people don't believe anything. Go to themedicaldictionary.com. It says the purpose of fasting can be used as nearly for every chronic condition, including allergies, anxieties, arthritis, asthma, depression, diabetes, headaches, heart disease, high cholesterol, low blood sugar, digestive disorder, mental illness, and obesity. Fasting is an effective and safe weight loss method. It is frequently prescribed as a detoxification treatment for those with conditions that may be influenced by environmental factors, such as cancer and multiple chemical sensitivity. Fasting has been used successfully to help to treat people who have been exposed to high levels of toxic materials due to accident or occupation. Fasting so as to be beneficial as a preventive measure to increase overall health, vitality, resistance, and to disease. Fasting is also used as a method of mental and spiritual rejuvenation. I want to say this to say this. Say all that to say this. Get off the pill. We don't need them. If we start fasting, start putting our mind towards Allah, start giving him glory, start putting the right foods within us and getting off the wrong foods, trying to eat every 3 days like prescribed by the messenger. No pills shall we need. As-salamu alaykum, family.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Okay, Brother Eddie, any last words? Not last words, closing words for this program.
Yes, sir. Two things. One is Ramadan Mubarak. I'm happy to spend Ramadan with the Muslim world and my family in the Nation of Islam. And I'm happy to talk and discuss these principles and grow together in conversation with the believers and those who are not registered members but are seeking knowledge. You are by nature a Muslim too. An awesome time being with y'all again and hearing Sister Aziza again and Brother Kareem. And the second thing, are we allowed to give shout outs? Is that okay?
Go right ahead, Bill.
Absolutely.
Shout it out.
I turned 25 in a few days, so I'm that generation. We like to shout out on the radio. But I got married today, so shout out to my new wife, Sister Leilani X, here in Augusta, Georgia.
Wait a minute. I'm going to put some mess up in it. Hold up. Stop right there. Hold on. Wait a minuet. Brother Eddie.
Yes, ma'am.
Brother Eddie?
Yes, ma'am.
Did we not inbox talk to each other via inbox today?
Well,
and you mean to tell me I don't even get a heads up? You gonna just put it out there with everybody? Now you got me over here about to go into cardiac arrest. Say what? You did what to who and why? What happened?
You to Allah.
Congratulations, black man.
You did what to who? What did you do?
I got married today.
Praises due to Allah. I'm so happy for you. And who is the sister queen? Who is she?
Sister Leilani X, she's on the Facebook, so you can see her there. But she's the granddaughter of two believers who are from the first. And they knew me a very, very long time, and I love them as my own parents. And she's from California, came over here, and came to Augusta when she was 16. By she turned 16, I had left and gone to college, so I didn't meet her until I came back. But that, you know, coincidence bang, that's how it goes. Took care of the business today.
Oh, praises due to Allah. We are so happy for you, but I'm so gracious because you spent your wedding night with us. You know, brother, you know, we love to hear you, Brother Eddie, but, you know, I would have understood if you couldn't have made
worker.
It tonight. I mean, I could have understood that.
Sister, I'm a worker. So she
That's
wouldn't deny
right,
me
brother.
This, or nor would she deny me
That's
Monday
right.
night.
That's right. Praise
she
be to Allah.
And she married
oh,
me. Praise
oh,
praises
due
to Allah. What a
Your
Ramadan gift.
Too. That's right.
What a Ramadan gift for you. And
yeah.
Is her name Ilani or Leilani with a L?
Leilani. Leilani.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Yes, it's Hawaiian.
Okay.
Yeah. But yes,
okay.
Oh, but yeah,
I think I know who she is.
Yes,
yeah, her last name Moss?
Yes, ma'am. It's lady named Moss, yes, ma'am.
Used to be Moss. Yes. Okay, my little sister from Augusta. She in Augusta now, huh? Mm-hmm. She's from California.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I know who she is. Okay, she's my Facebook friend. Praise be to I'm just, oh, I feel like a proud mother. Mm. Oh, praise. praises due to Allah, Brother Eddie, and thank you for spending your wedding night with us. And please give the sister the greetings and the blessings and tell her I said thank you for sharing you with us tonight.
She went and she spent the whole time listening to everyone on speaker and listening to me talk. So, you know, this is what I love to do. This is what she loves of me to do. So, like I said, she wouldn't have it any other way to let me continue on.
Praise is due to Allah. That's right.
You got the rest of my lives to have.
Yes.
You'll get that reject one of these days. No.
Well, I hope it's not anytime soon, but we're going to give you a break and let you enjoy your newly married time, and I'll just talk to you next month sometime.
don't leave it that long.
Okay. Praise be to Allah. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you.
Yes.
Praise be to
Allah. Absolutely. Congratulations. And Queen Aziza, if you would quickly give us the lineup, and then we can get out of here.
Oh, yes, sir. I'm sorry. Okay. Let me say this first. Okay. All of you who are on Google Chat, I really, really appreciate your questions. I'm so sorry you couldn't get on the phones, but we are out of time for questions. And some of you, I'm looking at you, you have been on here ever since the beginning, and I cannot believe you waited to the 10th hour to ask questions. I got like 17 questions up here, Brother Kareem. So please join us next week.
Right, and then also
they can join us next week.
Okay, they can invite me too, but that's not.
Yes, you can invite Brother Kareem. He's on Facebook, Brother Kareem N, as in Nathaniel Muhammad.
Yes.
And you can inbox him any of your questions. And Brother Brian, Sister Kay, Sister Sandra, Brother Vincent, Brother Vaughn, Carrie, Tanya, Mike, I think it's Sanja, and Veronica all say congratulations to Brother Eddie.
Alhamdulillah.
That's right. Well, thank you all for due to Allah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
So tomorrow, join us for Out on the Front Line with the Fruit of Islam, hosted by Brother Jihad Muhammad out of Atlanta, Georgia. That is at 8 p.m. Central. He's going to wrap up his series on the courtship manual, going from courtship to marriage is the topic. Join us on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central for DJ Black Caesar and Friends. That's our hip-hop comedy show. You never know what's going to go on there. Join me on Thursday, 8 o'clock p.m. Central. I'm hosting Nation Building Presents After the Verdict. Injustice once again. And, of course, we're talking about the reaction and the response to the verdict in the Trayvon Martin murder trial of George Zimmerman. And then on Friday, join us as we welcome a new co-host to our Friday night study group, Put on the New Man, 8 o'clock p.m. Central, Tampa study group coordinator Michael Muhammad is going to be joining us with student minister James Muhammad, and we all going to go on there together and welcome him, and he's going to co-host with us for a couple of weeks. So we're going to welcome him to the network family and bombard them with questions about the time and what must be done, part 27. And then on Saturday at 6 o'clock p.m., we're going to have Young, Gifted, and Black, and we're going to have our brother Daniel Muhammad out of Chicago, Illinois, to give us the history on the sounds of Chicago. So we're going to hear some good old-fashioned music from back in the day all the way up until now, and we're going to see that not only Motown put black music on the map, but so did Chicago. And, of course, on Sunday, join us at 6:30 p.m. Central with Brother Brandon Muhammad with No Romance with our Finance, our economic development show. And then next Monday, we'll be right back here, 8 p.m. Central, with Brother Kareem with a topic on what, Brother Kareem?
The topic is separate or die.
Separate or die. Okay, y'all heard it right there from him. So that's our lineup for the week. So please join us, and inshallah, we have something that will entertain you, inspire you, and of course educate you, because that is the goal.
That's right. All praise
Brother Kareem. You can take us home.
All right. All praise is due to Allah. Again, I want to thank Brother Eddie. Congratulations to you and your lovely, lovely wife. May Allah continue to bless you with his continued guidance, protection, and success in your union. I want to thank you once again, Sister Diatoma Clarity,
thank you, sir,
for your insights and for joining us tonight. Of course, I want to thank you, Quinlan Aziza, as always, for giving me the opportunity to be of service. I want to thank everybody that joined us on the phone, on the chat, and in Google chat. Please listen and participate. Remember, the thought is the act is the fact. We must all participate or we will dissipate. I leave you as I came with the greeting words of peace and paradise. We say it in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.